Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
All right. Last week, I talked about your desires and your commitment to God. We started in Luke 9, chapter 23 through 27. And it says, hey, if anybody wants to follow Christ, he must deny himself and take up his cross. And this is something that you have to do daily. Amen. So it has to be every day you wake up. There has to be a choice to say, today I'm going to serve God. Amen. If you don't have that choice, if you don't wake up and say, okay, today I'm going to serve the Lord, guess what? You're going to begin to see yourself serving yourself, right? You're going to see yourself choosing to please yourself over God. So every day you wake up, you have a preference to make. Are you going to put God first, or are you going to put yourself first? Amen. One of the key scriptures that when it comes to us as believers, why do we put God first? Because in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you as well. So our job and our preference should be to put God first. Amen. This is important. Why do I say this? And why do I, you know, this is part five, I think, of this sermon. But why do I continue to say this? Because when we get in our mind that we have to prefer God over everything else, and then not only we get in our mind, but we start walking it out, God is going to be able to do powerful things in our lives. Amen? How many of you know that you have to prefer to be used by God? God wants to use you, but if you don't prefer to be used by God, you're going to defer. So you can either prefer, that means I accept it, that's, I'm going to put that first, or I can defer. No, I'm just going to leave that alone. I'm going to decline that, right? And it's important to know that God doesn't want people to defer the plan that he has on their life. He wants you to accept it and move forward. Amen? Also, we went over the Ten Commandments last week in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17. And the number one commandment God said was, put me first. Put me first over anything. Get rid of any idols. Even set aside time to spend with me. Why does God want that? Because God, he wants your relationship. He prefers to have a relationship with you. The Bible says God, he's delaying so that no man would perish. He wants all men to come into repentance. But guess what? That's what God's preference is. But many people, they have different preferences. I don't need God. I can do this thing on my own. I think I can take care of it. That's not what God prefers, but because he's allowed us to have free will and to choose, amen? You chose. How many of you know you chose what you're going to wear today? Nobody forced you to put on that hat. Nobody forced me to wear this hat. I didn't get paid to wear this hat, right? And some of you are like, oh, he's wearing a hat in the pulpit. That's all right. It's cold in here today. So, one thing that I will say is you have to prefer God. Every day, you have to prefer him. Amen? And spending time with God. It has to be a preference. Hallelujah. Let's go to Egypt. Exodus chapter 16. We don't want to go to Egypt. Right? But we want to go there. Why am I going to go here? Because, as I said before, right when I ended, the Israelites, after they were set free from bondage, the same bondage that they cried, God, set me free from this. I don't want to be here no more. God, they're treating us bad. We're slaves. So what does God do? He sends Moses. Moses comes with plagues. Now, and let's be clear about this. Sometimes, oh, this is a word in itself. Sometimes God has to send things to wake people up. When you think about the plagues, and my dad did a comprehensive study on that a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to do all that. But when you think about the plagues, God sent a word, right? But sometimes people need to be shaken up to accept his word, right? This is especially important for people that feel like they have it all together. Pharaoh, the Egyptians, they were the top dogs. They ran the world at that time. They had the strongest chariots, strongest horses, strongest army. So they thought they had it all together. God comes and says, hey, I want my people to go. Why? So that they can worship me, because I am the only true God. Pharaoh took offense to that. Yeah, right. I'll show you how God you are. I'm going to show you how much I'm going to keep them here. So God had to send plagues to help change his preference. Amen? If it was up to Pharaoh and no plagues ever came, Pharaoh would have never let the people of Israel go. But God had to do something to get him to realize that God was in control. Amen? Now, I don't want it to sound like everything that happens is God making it happen. Like God is going to do something to destroy people. I don't always think God works like that. But there are things and circumstances that happen that will allow us to say, I need to get my eyes back on God. Amen? There's things that go on in life that say, okay, man, maybe I thought I was in control, but man, I'm short this week. I can't pay this bill. Right? And sometimes money is the fastest way to get our attention. Right? If you can't pay a bill, what begins to happen? Oh, I'm stressing. Lord, help me. I'll pray even more. But how many of you know that God, he can use that to get you back to him, to let you know, hey, I'm the thing, or I am the one that you need to prefer over anything. But let's get it in. Exodus chapter 16, and it says, verse 1, and they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. Now, when I read this, I was like, wow. This is important, and we can make a sermon off of this, too. A lot of times when you get free from sin, you're going to have to go through the wilderness of sin. What do I mean by that? You're going to have to go through and begin, after you got saved, you were set free from the bondage and the chains of slavery. You're going to have to now walk through that wilderness of sin, showing that you choose God over anything else. Even your immediate needs. Okay? This is why it's important to learn how to fast. Because sometimes us not eating food or giving up something that we consider a need or necessity blocks us from making sure God is number one in our lives. That's why you fast. So it says, the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. So this is 2 months and 15 days. So this is 2.5 months after they were set free from Egypt. Okay? You guys catch that? This is only 2.5 months after they crossed the Red Sea. They're free. Not that much time. They were in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. But after 2.5 months, this is what they said. Then the whole congregation and the children of Israel complained. Somebody say complained. Against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you brought us out here into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. All right. Now, what is the immediate need they have right here? Hunger. Right. Since they were hungry at this moment, they preferred to go back to Egypt, to go back to slavery, to go back to the place where they said, hey, yeah, we weren't treated well, but at least we were eating well. this, you see how this immediate need caused them to prefer something else? Right? They begin to prefer that life of slavery again over being hungry. So they begin to complain. Now, let me say this. How many of us get into a position where our immediate needs cause us to complain and we want to go back? Right? God, you know what? God, I think I can handle this on my own. It was better when I was doing it on my own. Right? I didn't deal with it. And this is important because I see a lot of people that get saved, right? They get saved, they're learning, they're trying to be discipled or wanting to be discipled. But when things get difficult, they're like, man, I had it better back in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like if you ever met some people that used to sell drugs, okay? Used to sell drugs. Some of them make a lot of money, right? And some of us would think, oh, it's not that much money. Some of these little guys that sell drugs make a good living. I interviewed somebody that they said they made $3,000 a day selling drugs, right? But as they get saved, they get jobs, and the jobs ain't making $3,000 a day, right? You'd be blessed if you got a $3,000 a month job. And then on top of that, your job got problems. But guess what? You're doing it the right way. Some people think, oh, just because I'm doing things the right way, I'm not going to have problems. But I'm here to let you know, when you do things the right way, you're going to have more problems. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want you to go the right way, and the enemy's job is to defer you from accepting the plan that God has for you. So what we do is we say, hey, God, even above all these other things, like you said in Matthew 6:33, we still will seek you first. Okay, God, I understand we're hungry. We need this, God, but we will still seek you first. God, I prefer to be in your will over being full every night. God, I prefer being in your will over even if it means that I want to be in your will, even if I don't have a roof over my head. There's a scripture that David says, I would rather be a servant at the gates of heaven than something like being in hell as a king or something like that. What is that? You know that scripture, Mom? Yeah, exactly. I'd rather be a servant in heaven than rule in hell. Some people would rather rule now and go to hell. How many of you know some people know that hell is a consequence, right? But they still do what they want to do because they put their needs higher than they put their relationship with God. And check this out. I was talking to a couple of my friends today. We're talking about music. The reason why secular music is so powerful to people in the world is because it gratifies their flesh. What does that mean? It pulls out the things that you want to do in your flesh. Right? We all have things in our flesh that we must get rid of. That's why me personally, I don't listen to secular music. Why? Because it tries to gratify the flesh. Now, I'll tell you this, since I was raised like that, even some of the quote unquote good songs that people listen to, I see how it is not good. Right? Because it's gratifying something else. It's not gratifying the spirit of God. Now, this is why some people will hear Christian music, and if they don't have a relationship with God, they're like, I don't want to hear that. It doesn't intrigue me. It doesn't grab my fancy, right? It's not what I like. Why? Because they want to hear something that's going to feed their flesh. Check this out. You have a choice. Every day, you have to wake up and say, am I going to feed this flesh or am I going to feed the spirit? You can't do the both. You can't do both. And I'm not talking about a hamburger either, right? I'm not talking about that kind of feed. But what you put in you is either going to be feeding your fleshly nature or it's going to be feeding the spirit of God. So many Christians are in conflict because they constantly take in things that are feeding their flesh and thus starving their spirit. Amen? So what are you feeding? This is a thing you have to wake up every day. Make up in your heart and in your mind that you're going to feed your spirit man the things that it needs so that it can be mature and complete. Amen? Then the Lord said in verse 4 to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them. Somebody say test. It's so interesting. So we're talking about somebody that first gets saved. They got delivered, right? We said that earlier. They have to go through this wilderness of sin, just like they did, right? To see what they're going to be, which way they're going to follow. Now, this is the incredible thing. Like, I don't know how many people there were that left the Red Sea, but I've heard it was at least, it was close to 1 million people, right? Now, only two of them, somebody say two. Come on, say two. Only two of them made it to the promised land. Why? Because and look, I'm not building a doctrine that out of every 1 million people, only two are going to be saved. It's not what I'm saying. But only two of them preferred to follow God over their natural feelings. Right? That was Joshua and Caleb. Okay, but let's see what it says. After you're in that wilderness of sin, okay, you may have graduated. You may still be in there, but God is going to test you to see what you prefer. It said that in verse 4 again, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Right? That's the test. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it will be as twice as much as they gather daily. Okay? Let me read through this some more. Verse 6. Then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, at the evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Also, Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Right? Then Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now it has come to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Right? Now, this is not the cloud that we have on our phones and things like that. God actually showed up in the clouds that we see outside. All right? Let's keep on reading. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was quails that came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And that was good dew, not bird dew. Okay. when the layer of the dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it is. And Moses said to them, this is bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it. And he talked about that earlier. Verse 17 says they gathered it. Let's go verse 22. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to him, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil and lay up for yourselves all the remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said to them, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. All right? Now, this seems pretty simple, right? They complained about food. God meets their need, okay? Now, let me be clear about something. We should not complain to God, okay? We should ask God, hey, God, I have a need. Lord, help me with this, right? But how many of you know some of us, we complained, right? God, what in the world is going on? I thought you're supposed to be in charge. I need you to help me in this situation. We've all did that before. But as you mature, you say, okay, God, I saw how you did it last time. Took care of that situation. Whatever the situation was, we brought it to you and you were able to take care of it. Now you begin to understand that God meets your needs. And that's one thing that the Israelites saw. But and how many know some of the people that get saved, they see God meet their needs. Oh, God, I'm praying. God, help this situation turn out good. I know I might have messed up, but Lord, help me turn that in my favor. And God does it, right? Meets their needs. But even in meeting their needs, sometimes you begin to see the greed that's inside of them. Amen? Verse 27, let's read and see what happens. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day. What were they supposed to do on the seventh day? Rest, right? But some of them were like, hey, well, look, I have a need on the seventh day. They weren't prepared. They weren't prepared. But they found none. It says in verse 28, and the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of the Israel called its name manna. And it was like white corridor seed and tasted. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Probably tasted like graham crackers, right? I mean, God is just sending, and some of us, we hear graham crackers are like, oh, I haven't had those since I was a kid, right? But graham crackers are sweet crackers with honey. And that's what they said it tasted like. Verse 32 says, then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it and keep it for the generations, that they may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to keep for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years. So 40 years they ate this, right? Until they came to an inhabited land, they ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. All right, and that's information for if you're trying to figure out how much it is, right? But one thing that God instructed Moses to do was to keep this so you could tell people what God did. Testify, right? So it's important. Our testimony has to be something that we're willing to share because God has done so much in our lives. If we're able to share it, it's going to help other people. Amen? How many have heard somebody's testimony and it inspired you to say, man, I know God is going to do something like that. Man, I hear, oh, did you see how God turned it around? They didn't, you know, my parents, they talk about buying the house that they bought, that they live in now with no money, right? They were like, hey, we didn't have anything, but God, somebody say, but God. Now, so I'm 31 years old. I'm like, if he did it for them, he could do it for me too, right? So, but if I didn't hear that, I'd be like, oh, I have to have that 10% down. I have to get this ready, that ready. I have to go do these things. But check it out. I know that God is able to do it for them, and God is not a respecter of persons. Amen? And if you pray, God will move. Now, I always say this. When I do Uber and Lyft, I'm kind of like a relationship counselor right now. It's, everybody got a relationship that's in disarray, right? And one thing I tell them, I prayed about my wife. They're like, you prayed about her? I sure did. Just let them know that I prayed so this thing would be right with God, you know? And they're like, oh, that's cool. You know, they have, many people have different things to say about that. But then they have their own preferences, right? Well, you can pray to God, but what if you pray to this person? I think it's okay that I do this. I think, and that's why your relationship is in disarray. See, you don't even want to be, I mean, this is kind of interesting, but the world does not want to prefer anything over anything else. Let everything go. Let everything be okay, right? If you want to live a lifestyle the way you live it, go ahead. If you wanna do those type of things, go ahead. That's their preference, right? Man, we live in a world right now, we live in Seattle, and everybody that comes here, they say, oh, it's a very liberal place. It is liberal, but how many know that it's dangerous when everybody gets to just do whatever they want to do? Because after a while, doing whatever they want to do is gonna end up hurting you. Did you know that? It's gonna hurt you. So when people ask me about the liberality, I think, okay, yeah, it's liberal. But how many know what begins to happen is people don't care about other people anymore. They care about what pleases them. And one thing we always have to remember, that's not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God, we must put God first, and in putting God first, he allows us to care about the people that are around us. Amen? And point one another in the right direction. We're living in a day and age now where you can't tell somebody what is right and wrong. Did you know our kids in schools, in some schools, they won't tell you no. 2 + 2 = 17. Oh, that's not the answer that we were looking for. That's not right. Just tell them no, that's wrong. But they don't want to hear that. Because everybody gets to do what they want to do. But we must prefer God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is what I'm going to read. There's 17 verses in it. And this is going to be the last thing we talk about on preferences. And it's kind of, it's funny how let's go ahead and read it. It says, but know this, that in the last days, somebody say last days, perilous times will come. What does perilous mean? Troublesome. So I mean, we were having a little conversation earlier. There's going to be things that happen that cause trouble. We're in the last days. We should expect that. Okay? You know, sometimes people, there's some things that they want to say is going to happen, and we should know that it's going to happen. Why? Because like I said earlier, sometimes things have to come so we can see and recognize who God really is. Right? We talked about the plagues. Those were perilous times. You know, sometimes, what is the saying? Hard times create desperate measures. God, he's using desperate measures to wake people up to him every day. Amen? But verse 2 says, for men will be lovers of themselves, right? That means they prefer themselves over anything. They prefer money, boasters, It's all about them still. Proud, that's still all about them. Blasphemers, they don't even want to hear the truth because it's not their preference, right? Disobedient, why are people disobedient? Because they prefer to do things their own way. That's why I disobey when somebody tells me to do it like this. No, I don't feel like doing it like that. What that is a disobedient spirit, and a disobedient spirit puts themselves first. So we could just put disobedient and then put disobedient to parents, right? Unthankful. Now, we remember what God told Moses to do, have a testimony, and that testimony should keep them and have them have a heart of thankfulness. Amen? It's important. See, some people, you give them something and they forget. Right? You ever had somebody that you helped out and they forget that you helped out and all of a sudden, man, I thought you were my friend when they needed some more help. What's the deal? I just helped. You must have forgot. But really what that is you're unthankful. And an unthankful person, I mean, you might help them out one more time, but after that, you're like, nah, man, I'm good. I can't do that anymore. Oh, that person, he's out to get me. How am I out? I'm the one that helped you out two times already. Right? But it just shows that their heart is unthankful. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving. All right? What happens when people are unforgiving? They prefer to hold on to what they have. They prefer to hold on to the things that have happened to them and to get even. But when somebody forgives, they say, okay, yeah, I understand this person has done me wrong. I'm going to forgive them so that I can move on. How many know that unforgiveness causes people to have sickness? Unforgiveness causes people to worry about things that they don't need to worry about anymore. Unforgiveness clogs your spiritual system. And how do we know this? Because the Word of God says if you don't forgive man, then I won't forgive you. All right? Forgiveness is the core of Christianity. Amen? Let's keep on going. It says, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. These are all things that they prefer over loving God. Now, if you're a Christian, you prefer loving God over all these other things. So it should say for the Christian, in the last days, perilous times will come, but we will still love God. Amen? That's what it should say for the Christian. We will still love God. And then you flip all those things and do them. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness but not denying his power, and from such people, turn away. All right? So there's going to be people that know how church works. They know how to pray. Know how to read the Bible. But they deny the power of the Bible. They want to change the Bible. The Bible needs to be reconstructed so it fits us. Right? How many heard people say that before? Oh, the Bible is not relevant. Well, let me tell you something. You're not relevant with the Bible. The Bible's relevancy doesn't change. We have changed, right? But if you're relevant to the world, then you're not relevant to the Word of God, right? We talked about that earlier. You cannot feed your spirit and feed your flesh. One of them is going to starve. Amen? But so many people know what God wants them to do, hear what God wants them to do, but they want to go feed that flesh because they like doing those things or they like how they feel when they do this, right? But your spirit man calls for you to live for God and understand the power that is in the Word of God and in living for the Lord. Verse 6 says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Now, how many know people like that? I'm trying to learn something. I just want to learn something. But they don't learn anything. But they're in a quest. Man, I'm just trying to get closer to God. Right? You heard people say that before? But they don't learn how to get closer to God because they're driven by their lusts. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. All right? Now we see what the world is, and now we need to get these instructions for us to prefer God. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and of them all the Lord delivered me. Okay, so now when we read this as Christians, there is no yes when we see somebody getting hurt for their faith, right? We don't look at what's going on in these other nations in Egypt where Christians are constantly being persecuted, executed. We don't look at that and be like, hallelujah, thank you, God, because we're looking at the eyes of the flesh and the mind of the flesh. But if you look at all of the disciples, every time they were persecuted, they rejoiced. Because they were worthy of the persecution that came with the cross. Right? Why am I saying this? We don't get excited that they died, but we get excited that they were able to stand for God amongst the persecution. Amen? When people come and say something to you, oh, that, why are you trying to live for the Lord? That's pointless. Who are you? What makes you different than all of us? That's verbal persecution. Right? But you say, hey, man, I'm just here to live for the Lord. My desire is just, my whole focus in life is to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You ran a good race. You endured. You now come with me, right? Spend time with me. Amen? But see, how many of you know that if you're not already with God, it's going to cause you when those things happen and say, man, maybe God's not with me. Right? But God is with you. He's going to keep you and lead you. Our job is to be committed to him and love him. Amen? Verse 12 says, Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All right? You guys hear that? Yes, and all who desire to live godly, who prefer to live godly in Christ, you will suffer some type of persecution. Because it says, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in all things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is important here. All scripture, even the scripture that just said, if you're going to live for God, you're going to face persecution. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right? If you want to prefer God, you have to be equipped with his word. Okay? so that you may be complete. If you want to be partial, don't read the word of God. Don't accept the word of God. If you don't want to be a complete man of God, but how many, none of us like incomplete things, right? You don't like eating an incomplete meal. You don't like it when your quarterback throws an incomplete pass. You don't want to get to your job and not complete or complete what you're supposed to complete, right? You don't want to half do things in life. So when it comes to Christ, we don't want to half do anything. We want to complete it. God, I want you to complete me, but let me be complete by being equipped with the word. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for your word. Dear God, we pray that your word will be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And dear God, as we say, let us hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you, oh God, and that we will be complete, that we will know exactly what you've called us to. Dear God, and even when we do face persecution, allow us to stand for you. God, I pray to God that you will equip us, deliver what you need to deliver us to us, and help us get through whatever you need to help us get through. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.